This is in the news for December 15th, 2005. I'm Scott Perguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today comes from Common Dreams Progressive Newswire at www.commondreams.org. This is a press release from the office of Congressman Dennis J. Kucinich. Dated December 14th, Congressman Dennis J. Kucinich, Democrat of Ohio, issued the following statement today, the 14th, following the president's latest speech on Iraq to the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. Quote, "The United States went to war not because of faulty intelligence, but because the Bush administration manipulated intelligence to mislead the public and to establish a pretext to attack a nation which did not attack us. The president, who has given a series of reasons for the war, and his latest in a series of speeches promoting the war, now says 1,000 days after the invasion, it was about getting rid of Saddam Hussein. Not about WMDs, because there were none. Not about Iraq obtaining uranium from Niger, it did not. Not about Iraq's connection to 9/11, because there was none. Not about Iraq's connection to Al-Qaeda and 9/11, because there was none. The president now says he is responsible for the war in Iraq. I agree with the president. He is responsible. He is responsible for attacking a nation that did not attack us. He is responsible for the 2,151 American troops killed in Iraq. He is responsible for the 15,881 U.S. troops injured in the war. He is responsible for at least 30,000 Iraqi civilians killed since the start of the war. He is responsible for draining $250 billion from U.S. taxpayers to pay for the war. And he is responsible for the failed reconstruction and for the continued occupation. I'm glad to see the president, 1,000 days later, is prepared to admit mistakes. He still has one more admission to go, that our continued occupation in Iraq is counterproductive and needs to end quickly." End quote. That again from Congressman Dennis J. Kucinich, Democrat from Ohio, taken from commondreams.org. And the next two stories, we've got double trouble for corporate giant Monsanto. The first one is from Common Dreams News Center at commondreams.org. And from Indo-Asian News Service, Vandana Shiva takes fight against Monsanto to Hong Kong. Indian environment activist Vandana Shiva and French anti-globalization crusader José Bové Wednesday launched a campaign against U.S. food and seed giant Monsanto on the sidelines of the global trade talks here. The duo also handed a petition to officials of the World Trade Organization to oppose the trade dispute filed by the U.S., Argentina, and Canada under the rules of the Multilateral Organization on Genetically Modified Food. The petition, which Shiva claimed has been signed by 135,000 citizens from over 100 countries and 740 organizations representing 60 million people, was to be given to WTO Director General Pascal Lamy, who instead sent a representative. Shiva said, quote, "The petition asked the World Trade Organization not to undermine the rights of countries like the European Union to take appropriate measures to protect their ecology and environment from GM food," end quote. The backdrop for the short event were placards and posters that read, "WTO hands off our food," and "Monsanto plunders and kills peasants and the planet." The organizers, including Friends of Earth International chairperson Mina Raman and member of the European Parliament Carolina Lucas, also delivered a box of organic food to the WTO official. Concerned by the food-related crisis in the 1990s, EU has regulations to control the GM food industry, which followed a four-year ban on such produce in 1999. The U.S., however, says it violated the WTO agreement. Shiva also said, quote, "This is not a case of U.S. versus the EU, but clearly Monsanto versus the civil society." Shiva is registered as a representative of non-government organizations, and she told this to the Indo-Asian News Service. "The EU and the U.S. have a discord over a regulation of Brussels on genetically modified food. The U.S. claims the regulation violates the WTO trade agreement, but the EU says free trade is not truly free without informed consent." Bové said, quote, "The WTO has become a tool for big companies to patent, seize, and even our lives, since it allows such measures under the agreement on trade-related intellectual property rights." He continued, "GM foods make farmers dependent on big companies, threaten food security, and take away consumer choice. A ruling that goes in favor of the U.S. will have a major implication." Shiva says her next course of action is to launch a satyagraha, the philosophy of nonviolent protest adopted by Mahatma Gandhi in India against Monsanto. She said, quote, "We have to protect the rights of Indian farmers and consumers," end quote. The next story is from Agence France-Presse. Activist destruction of GM crops was justified, according to French court. In a judgment expected to send a chill through companies growing genetically modified crops in Europe and embolden their opponents, a French court acquitted 49 activists who destroyed GM plants after ruling their actions were justified. The court in the central city of Orleans dismissed the criminal charges of organized vandalism against the 49, who had uprooted GM maize in the region planted by the U.S. biotechnology group Monsanto in two incidents, one last year and the other in 2005. The court said, quote, "The defendants have shown proof that they committed an infraction of voluntary vandalism in a group to respond to a situation of necessity," end quote. The situation of necessity, quote, "resulted from the unbridled distribution of modified genes that constitutes a clear and present danger for the well-being of others, in the sense that it could be the source of contamination and unwanted pollution," end quote. This is according to the court. The court, however, upheld the civil complaint against the 49, ordering them to pay a total of 6,000 euros, or $7,000, to Monsanto in damages and interest, although that sum was a small fraction of the 398,000 euros the U.S. company had been seeking. One of the activists, Jean-Emily Sanchez, called the verdict, quote, "a huge victory for the anti-GM side," end quote, and said the judgment would form an important legal precedent. The state prosecutor in the case, Alex Perrin, immediately said both his office and Monsanto would appeal the decision. He had pressed for prison terms of up to 3 months for each of the defendants, who included two Green Party politicians, one of whom, Yves Contessault, is a Paris deputy mayor in charge of environmental issues. That again from Agence France-Presse. My apologies to all French-speaking and French-understanding individuals. Again, Monsanto taking a double hit here in the last few days. And our final story is from High Country News, their December 12, 2005 issue. BLM boosts winter drilling. This is written by Emma Brown. The mule deer herd that winters on the mesa east of Pinedale, Wyoming, has suffered a 46% population decline since 2002, despite a Bureau of Land Management policy that banned most natural gas drilling in the area in wintertime. Now the BLM wants to allow several more companies to drill throughout the winter, and some conservationists think the change might actually result in better wildlife protection. Starting in 2000, the BLM prohibited drilling on the mesa between November 15th and April 30th, but in 2003, the agency gave Questar permission to drill year-round. This September, it gave the same permission to Anschutz, Shell, and Ultra. In return, the companies have agreed to bus their workers out to well sites and to use directional drilling. That will mean less traffic, less surface disturbance, and less habitat fragmentation, says Shell spokeswoman Dina McMullen. Biologist Hall Sawyer of Western Ecosystems Technology Incorporated, whose Questar-funded study revealed the deer's decline, says the winter ban did not sufficiently protect wildlife, partly because it allowed truck traffic to service existing wells. He thinks wildlife survival may depend on measures similar to those proposed by the companies. Vern Stelter, Habitat Protection Program Supervisor with the Wyoming Department of Game and Fish, says that his agency supports lifting the winter ban for the companies because their mitigation plans offer enough other benefits for big game. Though environmentalists are willing to see whether the one-year trial will stem the loss of deer, they aren't ready to accept an industry proposal to eliminate the ban permanently. Peter Angst of the Wilderness Society said, quote, "Seasonal stipulations are not a magic wand to protect wildlife," but he says the winter ban can serve as a trading chip, encouraging companies to offer additional environmental protections. Again, that's from High Country News at hcn.org. This has been In the News for December 15, 2005. I'm Scott Berguin at KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'll talk to you next time.